2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse 15 is the text tonight. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. This chapter, which we did read together, begins with Christian giving as touching the ministering to the saints. It begins with Christian giving, and it deals with that subject throughout. And yet it ends with this praise, not of Christian giving, but of divine giving. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Paul has been encouraging the saints to be generous, to be liberal, to be cheerful givers. He says there in verse 6, for example, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, not an exception, but every man, according as his purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So Paul is encouraging Christian giving, and he's giving many reasons to motivate the believer to be such. But he finishes with the greatest motive of all. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. He's hammered home the arguments, if you like. And he finishes on this. This is the last nail in this chapter. He turns to the divine giver and to the divine gift, the greatest giver and the greatest gift. He turns his attention to Christ. Paul is like that, isn't he? He often finishes with Christ. He's a Christ-intoxicated man. Whatever topic he deals with, he always gets to Christ and to Calvary. If it's humility, he gets to the Savior's humility. If it's gentleness, he gets to the Savior's gentleness. If it's giving, he gets to Christ, the greatest gift of all. He's always getting to the cross. He's always getting to the Savior. No matter where he begins, he's sure to end with the Lord Jesus Christ. The last word in the text, the last word in this chapter, the last word in the apostle's thought is the word gift. Gift. The word gift is the climax of this chapter. It is the climax of all the apostle's arguments. He has talked about the Christian's gift, but he finishes with the unspeakable gift. And that's our subject tonight. My theme is not Christian giving, which has been the main content of this chapter, but my theme is that climax with which the apostle finishes, divine giving. That's my subject, the unspeakable gift of God. The first thing that I would leave with you is this truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is that unspeakable gift. And this first truth is, the Lord Jesus is a gift. He is a gift. It is certain that the Holy Spirit has in mind here the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think there's any doubt about that. There's no question about that in our hearts. Christ is the unspeakable gift. The definite article is present in the original, His unspeakable gift. He is the gift, the unspeakable gift. There's only one unspeakable gift. Only one who measures up to this description. It can only be the Lord Jesus Christ. I think every child of God must heartily agree to that. Paul is writing to Christians. He's writing to those who have the Holy Spirit, who have the anointing and are taught of God. He doesn't have to say the name of the Savior here. The Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer rises up and tells us, yes, that's Christ. We know that's Christ. He is the unspeakable gift.
Every Christian heart knows that.
And that's what the Lord Jesus is. He's a gift. He's a divine gift. And we have to thank God for this divine gift. He's a gift, a divine gift, for several reasons. He's a divine gift, first of all, for God the Father gave him. That's a biblical truth. The most well-known verse of Scripture is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son. He gave Christ. The Lord Jesus is the gift of God the Father. The Father has given Him, Paul said, given Him to be the head over all things. Yes, not only made Him the head over all things, but He's actually given Him to that, to be that. He's a gift. Even to be the head, to be made the head over all things was a condescension for Christ. He was given to be the head over all things. We often quote that verse, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The child's born, but the son is given. He's the given Son of God. We read there in Isaiah, that was the reason why we read Isaiah 49, because twice we're told there, the Father addressing Christ, and that's who He's speaking to, in verse 6, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. I'll give thee. And then in verse 8, I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. So the Lord Jesus is frequently called the gift of God, the gift of the Father. He's a gift because the Father gave Him. But you know, He's a divine gift because He gave Himself. He gave Himself. Because you know, in the Godhead there are a plurality of persons. And the Father alone hasn't given His Son, but the Son has given Himself. He's given Himself. He's a gift because He gave Himself. The Bible teaches that, doesn't it, very often. We read in Galatians, for example, the epistle afterwards, who gave Himself for our sins. And the same epistle, chapter 2, in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We're going to observe the Lord's Supper afterwards. And the Savior Himself spoke about Him giving His body and giving Himself. And this table especially reminds us of the voluntariness of the Lord's sacrifice. He gave Himself. Paul says, who gave Himself a ransom for all, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Yes, He's the gift because He gave Himself. But it's also true the Holy Spirit has given Him. The Holy Spirit gives Him in the gospel. He gives Him not in the same sense that the Father gives Him, and not in the same sense that Christ gives Himself, but nevertheless, He's part of this great work of the giving and the offering and the presentation of Jesus Christ. And He gives Christ to us in the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the Savior to us and offers Him to us in the gospel and presents Christ to us. He lifts up Christ and presents Him and says, come buy, come eat, come drink, without money, without price. He's given. He's given. Yes, Christ is truly the gift. The Father is the source of that gift. Christ is the substance of that gift. And the Holy Spirit is the bringer of that gift to the hearts of us sinners. Christ is a gift. We have to emphasize in this age, don't we? This is an age where nearly the idea of what a gift is forgotten about. And let me remind you what a gift is. And to bring it out, a gift is not a wage. I have to say that because we live in a society where few know how to say thank you. Few know the value of a thank you. We live in an age where everybody thinks it's their entitlement. Whatever they get is their entitlement. And that people have a claim in gifts. We nearly have that mentality in this day and age. That it would nearly be wrong not to give a gift. We have to get away from that mentality. Christ is a gift. There is a notion among men that God ought to give eternal life to sinners. There's a notion that God ought to do something for man's salvation. Let me tell you tonight, that notion is false. God doesn't have to do anything for man's salvation. God doesn't have to do anything for man's eternal life. Man was created innocent. Man was created perfect. Man was created in the image of God. Man was created holy. Man had a perfect environment in which he was placed. God has done all for man. Man sinned. Man failed. Man broke through the fence. Man rebelled against God. And God did not have to do anything more but send after them justice. That's what man deserved. Justice. But we didn't get justice. In that sense, we got grace. And God gave his only begotten Son. This contrast between wage and gift is brought out especially by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If man wants his due is not eternal life, his due is death. If man wants what he deserves, if man wants the benefits which he ought to be receiving, if he wants his real wages, well, here they are. It's death, eternal death. That's what we deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life. And that gift is only through Jesus Christ, our Lord, as the Apostle says. It is an undeserved gift. It is a gift that is received. That's all you have to do. You only have to receive it. There's nothing you can do. You just receive it. You have to receive Christ. He's a gift. But then, secondly, let us come to this word unspeakable. For Christ is not only a gift, but he is the unspeakable gift. He is the solitary, singular, unique gift. He is the sole gift. He stands alone. There's not a gift like the Lord Jesus Christ. However unsparing any giver might be that Paul addresses in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, however generous and liberal all the saints that he exhorts might be, however much they might empty their accounts to further the work of God, however great their gift might be, there's only one unspeakable gift. That gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. Between this gift, this unspeakable gift, and all other gifts, there is an infinite gulf, a great gulf. All gifts are on this side. And then on the other side of that infinite gulf, there's Christ. That's some gift. That's the unspeakable gift. All other gifts, however great, do not match up to this description. If we think of creature gifts, oh, the gulf between them is even greater still. No creature gift matches this gift. No gift of man, no gift of angels, nothing that any creature could give would match up to this. But let me tell you this, even every other divine gift cannot bridge the gulf between this gift across to this gift. This is the unspeakable gift. This is God's greatest gift. God could have made all creation. He did make all creation. He could have made many more universes. He could have given them all. But still that gulf would not be fixed. He could create universe after universe, but still that gulf would not be breached. This is the unspeakable gift. This is Christ. This is the uncreated Creator Himself. The giving of God. The giving of the Omnipotent One. The giving of the Independent One. The giving of the Solitary One in the universe. The giving of Himself. That is the gift. That is the unspeakable gift. This word unspeakable is the only occurrence in the Scriptures. This is the only place where this word unspeakable is used. This is the only place where the Holy Ghost will bring in this word. This is the only place where the Holy Spirit will use this word. It's to refer to Christ. This unspeakable gift. Only one thing is unspeakable in God's universe. The giving of Christ for our sins. The word means beyond declaration. The word means that no language can fully express this truth. That no heart can fully get to the bottom of this deep thought. This grand truth that God gave His Son for sinners. No mind can get a handle of it. No created mind, however much angels will look their eyes away into this divine truth, they cannot get a handle of it. It's the unspeakable gift. And so it is. It's really the Everest of Christian theology, you know, this truth. It's the summit. I know Everest has been claimed and conquered this year. Sir Edmund Hillary was buried. But this is a summit that no man, no creature can ascend. This is a summit that we cannot reach the peak of. God's mercy higher than the heavens in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. For us poor sinners. It's the unspeakable gift. It's higher than the heavens. And there Paul ends. Meaning what he says. Unspeakable. And so he stops. But we want to dip our spoon in tonight. Into this ocean of unspeakable greatness. And to try to taste something of it. In a very feeble way. Why is Christ the unspeakable gift? Well, Christ is the unspeakable gift whenever you consider who give Christ. Whenever you consider who give Christ, He's the unspeakable gift. God give His Son. The Father give Him. How great whenever one and equal gives you a gift. And whenever one above you gives you a gift, that's great as well. If a king were to come and give you a gift, how great a gift that would be. How odd you would be. If an angel were to appear, if the greatest angel were to appear and to give you a gift, it would be quite overwhelming. But God gives you a gift. God, the great God, an unspeakably great one, the King of Kings. He gives you His Son. And then, if you think about that, you know, one of the reasons why we give gifts is it is a thing that makes us feel good. And there's nothing wrong with that. God loves a cheerful giver. He wants you to feel good in your giving. Giving is beneficial to you and to me. He that sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Paul's telling people, if you give, you'll benefit. You'll benefit ever so immensely.
If you give bountifully, God will abound toward you in blessing and bounty.
And so it's good to give, and we get benefit from giving, and we feel good in giving. But God didn't have to give. He doesn't get anything in giving, because he has everything. He's a blessed God. He's not made one bit happier by giving. Not one bit happier. He doesn't feel one bit better. And he's not benefited one bit by giving. And yet he gives his Son, the blessed God. And his blessedness in the main is wrapped up in his Son. And yet he gives him. Now, I think that's astounding. That the happy God, who has all things in himself, creates a universe that he knows will sin so that he can give his Son to it. To me, that is mind-boggling. The blessed, happy God should do that. That staggers me. That's why it's the unspeakable gift, you see. Unspeakably great. And then, not only when you consider who gave Christ this ever blessed and happy God, who needed nothing from us, who sowed bountifully, not looking and not needing anything in return, but whenever you consider also who he gave, whenever you consider who he gave, it's unspeakable. He gave his only begotten Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How great when you receive a great gift. But to receive the greatest gift that's possible is a wonderful thing. And Christ is a great gift. He's an unspeakable gift. And he's an unspeakable gift because he's an unspeakably great person. An unspeakably great person. And therefore an unspeakable gift. He's the image of the invisible God. He's very God of very God, yet given, presented, offered, sent into this world, given. If God should give worlds for us and a whole universe of gold for us, or if he should give every created gem in the universe to us, we would think that would be nearly an unspeakably great thing, but it's not anything near it at all. He gave Christ. He gave Christ the gem of gems, the uncreated gem, the rare, solitary, singular diamond in all God's universe. He gave that. The Holy Spirit has used the right word. We think unspeakable. The Father gave one who was unspeakably near to him, his Christ. His bosom Son, his only begotten Son, unspeakably near, yet he gave him. The Father had an unspeakable delight for Christ, yet he gave him. The Father had an unspeakable love for his Christ, yet he gave him. I tell you, that's an exceeding rare thing. If we have something we exceedingly love, if we have something that is exceedingly near unto us, if we have something that we exceedingly delight in, that's the very thing we won't give. Yet the Father gives him. Unspeakable gift. And then whenever you consider not only who gave Christ and who was given, the Son of God, but whenever you consider what Christ was given to and what he was given for, that brings out how unspeakable it is as well. He was given to become man. He was given to wear a shroud of dust. He was given to wear the nature of a worm. He was given to become like us. He was given to be born of a woman. He was given to be laid in a manger. He was given to that. He was given to be subject to creaturely infirmity. He was given to tears. He was given to sweat and toil.
He was given to reproach and shame. He was given to walk among sinners. He was given to be subjected to abuse. He was given to be taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain. He was given up to that. Heaven's dearest. Given to that. He was given not even to have an angelic nature, but a human nature. He was given to be a servant. He was given to the cross. To be crucified and slain. He was given to cruelty and to death. Heaven's best. Earth's worst. Given to that. Unspeakable gift. Not even earth's worst. Hell's worst too. Given to that. Given to that. Now who among us could give one of our children to anything like that? Who among us, having perfect knowledge, as God the Father had of all that he was giving his Son to, who among us could do it? See how much it must have cost Abraham to take up his son Isaac and give him. What a mountain of difficulty it must have been. Yet he was willing to do it. Who among us could do that? Who could give our child up to shame and reproach? Who could give our child up? Who among us could give our child up to be horribly tormented? Who among us could do it? Jacob, whenever he thought his son was eaten by beasts, could hardly live. And David, whenever he heard of the death of his son, what a wretched mourner he became, even though that son was an unworthy rebel. Who among us could give our bosom child to something, anything like what the Father gave his son up to? Yet he did it. That's why the Holy Spirit says, unspeakable gift. And then when you come to consider who he gave Christ for, did this near son, this much loved son, this greatly delighted in son, did he give him for holy angels? That would have been a great gift indeed if it were for holy angels. Did he give him for holy man, unfallen man? No. It was for sinners. It was for us. Horrible worms. Unclean toads. Us. Us defiled. Us unclean. Us who were vile and willful slaves of Satan himself. We who were creatures of the night. We who were vile. As that great text says, God so loved the world, that world of vileness. I know there's great debate about the extent of that world. The matter is not about extent in that verse. To find the extent of the divine love and of the effectiveness of the atonement, you have to go to other scriptures. That is not about the extent of it. That's about the depth of it. It was a vile world that was loved. It was a world that lieth in wickedness that was loved. It was vile wretches. It was blackness. It was sin. It was wickedness. God, a world lying in that. God loved. God so loved that he gave his son. Time and time again we're reminded, aren't we? We're reminded it was for sinners. It was for the ungodly. It was for transgressors. It was for the wicked. We're reminded of that so frequently by the Holy Spirit. He was given for us. An unspeakable gift. And then whenever you consider how Christ is given,
how he's given. He's given fully and completely. No holding back any part of him. A whole only begotten Son in all the completeness of his person is given. He's completely given and he's completely offered to you and presented to you in the gospel. Fully given. Heartily given, unreservedly given, lovingly given, sincerely given, earnestly given, yes, cheerfully given. If God himself loves a cheerful giver, it's because he himself is. When he gives the most bountiful gift of all, yes, eternally given, unchangeably given, given without repentance. If God repented that he made a world, he never repented that he gave his Son. We never find it in the book. Never was a gift like Christ given. Never was a gift given the way Christ was given. For these reasons, we've just dipped our spoon in this ocean. There are many other reasons. And these reasons themselves can be explored even more deeply. And we get lost in the labyrinth of this deep truth. And so Paul says, unspeakable. Let us conclude then with a concluding implication or two about this. If Christ is an unspeakable gift, then this truth must hold. If Christ is an unspeakable gift, the rejection of him must be an unspeakable sin. If Christ is an unspeakable gift, given by the Father, given by himself, and given and presented to you by the Holy Ghost in the gospel, if he is an unspeakable gift, then if you reject him, you commit an unspeakable evil. We don't need to enlarge on that implication. The rejection of Christ is evidence of the utmost depravity of man. That man can reject such a gift just shows how wicked they are. And it just shows that all men deserve hell. They deserve hell. Why would God, some people say, send his creatures to hell? Because they are unspeakably wicked. That's why. And the rejection of Christ, just as they crucified him, so they would reject him again. The rejection of Christ is just evidence of unspeakable depravity. And that was you and me. We would have rejected Christ. Only God and his grace worked in our hearts and regenerated us by his grace. And we love that gift. And we accept that gift. And that gift is all our salvation. Yes, the rejection of him is an unspeakable evil. Don't reject the unspeakable gift. Don't even neglect the unspeakable gift. Don't even neglect it. But then if Christ is an unspeakable gift, then we that are saved and partake of that free gift ought to have unspeakable praise. And so that's how Paul finishes. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Yes, he's filled with praise. Thanks of Christian praise ought to be on our lips, child of God. If this gift is an unspeakable gift, then we ought to have great love for God. Great love for this giver. And I tell you, great love for this gift. This gift is given to us, then it is our most precious possession. It goes into our jewelry box. The best jewelry box that we have, the jewelry box of our heart. This gift goes into our heart. This gift will stay in our heart. This gift will never leave our heart. We will never give up this gift. Christ is our gem. Our unspeakable gift. And we thank the Lord for him. And then we thank him by Christian praise not only, but we thank him by Christian giving. It's the last argument in a chapter that deals with Christian giving. The unspeakable gift. That should make every Christian a good giver to the Lord and to his work. And then also it should lead to Christian service. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. It certainly at least demands this. The words across the table before you tonight. The unspeakable gift says, this do in remembrance of me.